Hola y bienvenido al episodio 8 de Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Welcome back. Hi, Reza.
Hi, Craig.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. What about you?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. Looking forward to this episode of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. And we have no news this week.
No news is good news.
No news is good news.
So, they say.
Shall we jump in? Vamos a saltar a la gramática.
Straight in with the grammar?
Straight in with the grammar. Let's go, man.
Okay. Well, today we're going to look at the words could and negative, couldn't. I think a lot of listeners probably know that could and couldn't are words that are related to can and can't.
It's the past, isn't it?
It's the past. Indeed, it is. But the thing is, could and couldn't can also be the conditional of can and can't. Mm-hmm. In other words, looking at the grammar, the translation of the verb tense of could or couldn't has two possibilities in Spanish. You can say, I could swim when I was young. Yo podía nadar. Or imagine I said to you, tomorrow we could swim in the sea. Tomorrow. Mañana podríamos nadar. That's conditional.
Right.
So it can be past, podía, or it can be conditional, podría.
So
which are different.
So it's still
grammar.
The same verb in Spanish. It's not like last week we had he can swim, él sabe nadar, and poder for permission.
Well, we'll talk about the functions in a minute, okay. Because it's kind of complicated. Could has more than one function, just like can. But I'm just talking about the curious fact that the verbal tense of could has two translations in Spanish. It can be past or it can be conditional.
And what were they? Podría is could?
Well, they're both could. Podía is could and podría are could.
Podría.
Podía in the past. Yo podía nadar cuando era niño.
Mm-hmm.
I could swim when I was a child. That's past. And mañana podríamos nadar en el mar.
No, I get
tomorrow we could swim. That's the conditional.
I get confused with that in Spanish. Podría, podríamos.
We podía could. And podría.
We could go for a beer after this podcast.
That's
podríamos.
Conditional.
Podríamos.
That means it's a possibility. It's speculative. It's imagination.
Right.
That's conditional. The problem is in English they're both could, but in Spanish they're two different verb tenses. Logically, the word could is a bit of an irregularity.
Okay.
So as I said, could or couldn't, they're the past of can and can't. For example, if you remember, I said to last week, Craig said that he can't play a musical instrument.
No, but you can.
I can, yeah. In the past, could you play a musical instrument?
No, I've never played a musical instrument.
So you can't play a musical instrument now, and you couldn't play a musical instrument when you were younger.
That's correct.
So we have can't for the present, and couldn't for the past. So couldn't there is simply the past of can.
Although I'll tell you something, I couldn't speak Spanish when I was younger. Before I came to Spain, I couldn't speak Spanish, but I can now.
Aha, so he said, antes no podía, I couldn't speak Spanish. No podía hablar español, but now I can. Pero ahora puedo. So, could, past of can. We're talking there about Craig's ability to speak Spanish. Also, we could talk about possibility. For example, if I said to you, the example from last week, we said, my friend John can be very cold sometimes. He can be very cold sometimes. It's possible. Sometimes he's cold, sometimes he's friendly. In the past, simply we would say, when we were younger, my friend John could be very cold sometimes.
So the meaning is the same, it's just using the past for something in
yeah.
the past.
And that's talking about possibility. So could is the past of can. For ability and possibility. Logical. No problem there.
Mm-hmm.
However, here's where it begins to get a bit strange and complicated. Do you remember I asked you last week, Craig? I said, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
I was asking for permission with the word can. Well, you can also use the word could to ask for permission. Craig, could I ask you a question?
Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm. So I can say can, or I can say could I ask you a question, and the meaning is basically the same. It's not a question of present and past in this case.
Is one more polite than the other?
That's it. Could is a little bit more polite. In fact, the Spanish speakers will understand this no problem, because in Spanish you can say puedo preguntarte algo, or you can say podría preguntarte algo.
But is that, I make that mistake a lot, I think, in Spanish, because I would say to somebody, can I ask you a question? It's me making a request, uh-huh. But a Spanish person, wouldn't a Spanish person look at it more as ability and think, well, you can, do you want to?
They might
well, do. Claro que puedes, vas a hacerlo, ¿no?
I think perhaps in modern day Spanish it's just become a little bit excessively polite, perhaps.
Okay.
But I think in old-fashioned Spanish it was fairly normal.
So it's okay for me to say, ¿puedo sentarme aquí?
Yes.
And, claro que puedes, puedes sentarte.
Yeah. No, Spanish people say it.
Tienes habilidad.
Definitely do. Spanish people have said to me, ¿puedo preguntarte algo? They've said that.
Okay.
They've said it.
Okay.
For permission, just as in English, you can use can. You can use poder in Spanish for permission. Perhaps it's not so common, but you can use the word can.
Now I have
and also you can use the word could. Mm-hmm. Podría preguntarte algo. Now, in Spanish, that's really quite rare these days. Podría preguntarte algo. It seems excessively polite. But it is possible. But listeners, in English, we still use that a lot, particularly with people we don't know very well or when we want to be extra polite. Could I ask you a favor? As well, could. I could say can, but could is that little bit more polite.
I have a theory. A ver lo que piensas tú. Yo creo que cuando pones más distancia entre tú y la persona con quien hablas, es más polite. Y cuando empleas el pasado del verbo, estás poniendo más distancia. ¿Estás de acuerdo? So if I say, could I sit here? It's more polite than can I, because I've distanced myself. If I say, I was wondering if I could ask you, is more polite than I'm wondering. Or
yes.
These past forms are usually more polite.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Although perhaps it's more important to have polite intonation than actually use just the past form of the verb.
Yeah, I'd say it's...
Can I sit here, please?
Yeah, equally important. Yeah. That's right.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, you were quite right. You were quite right. That basically sums everything up. That sums everything up. Basically, could or couldn't is both the past of can and can't, but also the conditional of mm-hmm. can and can't. So... sometimes can and could are interchangeable. The only difference is could is a little more polite when I say to you, can I ask you a question? Or could I ask you a question? Or can I offer you a cup of tea? Or could I offer you a cup of tea? More or less the same, but could is a little bit more polite.
More polite.
That's when we're asking for permission mm-hmm. or could I ask a question? Can I ask a question? Or an offer. Can I offer you a cup of tea? Could I offer you a cup of tea? Or a request. Can you help me? Could you help me, please?
Mm-hmm. Could you do me a favor?
Could you
it's
do me a favor?
It's more polite than can you do me a favor?
Yeah, so can and could are interchangeable there with a slight change of meaning of politeness merely. However, when we're talking about ability and possibility, can and could are not interchangeable, because ability, I can swim, is present.
And
but
could,
I could swim is not present.
Past.
It's past. So they are not interchangeable there. Mm-hmm. Also for possibility. John can be very cold sometimes. John could be very cold sometimes is a different meaning. It's the past. So for possibility, can present, could past. They are not interchangeable. But for permission, request, offer, can and could are more or less interchangeable. It's tricky, listeners, isn't it? Modal verbs are not easy. But that's enough for today.
Little by little, we'll be examining the differences with many popular modal verbs. Moving on to a little pronunciation. And this week, I wanted to look at the pronunciation when a vowel is followed by a consonant or consonante. For example, have a. It's unusual for a native speaker of English to say have a cup of tea. Sounds strange. The stress is not equally put on each sound. It's more common for a native speaker to join the two sounds together when the vowel is after the consonant. So they wouldn't say have a, they'd say have a.
Right.
Have a. Have a drink, for example. Have a cup of tea. And also, have a cup. Cup finishes with the letter P, which is a consonante. And of begins with a vocal. So again, it's linked, it's enlazado, it's joined, the sound is joined together. So have a cup of tea becomes have a cup of tea.
And Craig, I think sometimes people in that sentence wouldn't even say the word tea, because we drink so much tea in Britain and Ireland that when we say a cup, it's understood that it's tea.
Right.
So people will say, have a cup.
Have a cup.
Or have a cuppa, even. Have a cup of, but then we don't bother to say tea.
That's
have a
right.
cuppa.
That's right.
Have a cuppa.
Well, let's face it, Reza, we're lazy. And in Spanish, you'd say cuñao instead of cuñado sometimes, mm-hmm. or cortao instead of cortado. So you remove sounds and you remove words from the language to make it easier. And in reverse, you could say have a coffee. Where you really mean have a cup of coffee. So you forget cup. Have a beer, not have a glass of beer.
Right.
Etc. More examples. Beer often comes in a can. So can of beer, can of beer.
Can I butt in there for a minute? Listeners, don't confuse that with the modal verb can, by the way. This is
a can.
Una lata. It's a noun. It's not a verb. Yeah, I just want to clear that up.
Thank you for that. Yeah, it's a noun. Can of beer. Can of beer. Other examples? Yeah, one I like very much that really, really shows how difficult it can be,
mm-hmm.
For Spanish speakers to understand English. Listen to this phrase and try to write it down. Got to get a lot of it. That's incredibly difficult for a Spanish person. Let me slow it down. Get a. Lot of. And again, lot of it. Got to get a lot of it. Very, very difficult for Spanish speakers to understand. So just remember that when you're listening, the words that are often weak, que suena muy débil, son las palabras que no llevan stress y son palabras sin significado, casi, que son palabras de gramática, articles of, prepositions, articles, auxiliary verbs very often. And the words that are stress, que llevan estrés, son las palabras que llevan más significado, como los nombres, sustantivos, los adverbios, adjetivos y los verbos. Reza, do you have a phrasal verb for us this episode?
I do. Listeners, do you remember in the last episode the phrasal verb was set off, and I mentioned that set was an extremely common verb in English. So I thought this week we'll do another phrasal verb with set, but we'll change the preposition to up. Set up is
set
the phrasal
up.
Verb for today. Here's the first meaning of set up. I went camping with my friend, and when we arrived at the campsite, the first thing we had to do was set up the tent.
Montar.
montar. So assemble, montar, to set up a tent. Also, to do this podcast, Craig has to set up a microphone and other equipment.
I didn't set it up very well today. We had some technical problems.
We did, so he had to reset their equipment. So set up is to assemble or put things in position, a tent, equipment, anything really. So montar in Spanish. Another meaning, another group of meanings of set up is set up things like set up a meeting, set up a negotiation, set up a consultation, where people get together to talk about something in a formal way. You set it up. You set it up. You set up the meeting, the conference, the...
That would be more like, was that arrange, perhaps?
Arrange or organize.
Organize.
Arreglar, organizar. That's another meaning of set up. Another common meaning of set up is to set up a company, set up a business, set up a foundation, set up a charity. So some kind of organization which may make money, like a business or company, or maybe not, like a charity or a foundation, but you set them up.
That's also montar, montar un negocio.
You could say, yes, you can say montar. Another meaning is fundar, to found, in other words. To found, not to find, listeners, not the past of find either, found, but to found, fundar, to set up a charity, company, business, etc.
So first you set up a business and then you run it. So if run it is mantener un negocio, then set up is the initial organization making the business happen.
Yeah, yeah. Spanish montar, yeah.
Set up a restaurant, set up a bar, set up an online business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and one last meaning of set up, a colloquial meaning, but very common. To set up a person means to trick them, to engañar, make them look bad.
Hacer trampas.
Yeah, hacer trampas. Especially so that they look bad or that they do what you want them to do, but it's not good for them. For example, the murderer killed his victim, then put the knife in my hand. So and the police arrested me.
He set me up. He set you up.
He killed the victim, not me, but he put the knife in my hand. So I looked guilty. He set me up. It was a setup.
You can also use this as a noun. It was a setup.
That's right. It was a setup. He made me look guilty.
I understand.
He set me up. So there's a few meanings of set up. There are many phrasal verbs with set, set on, set upon, set to. Perhaps we'll talk about them some other time in the future.
Okay. Moving on to the vocabulary corner this episode, and I thought we'd look at the verb have and some collocations, some words which go together with have to form expressions. Can you think of any, Reza? You enjoy doing these podcasts?
Oh, I do, yeah, a lot.
Yeah. Are you having fun?
Ah, okay, having fun. Indeed I am. I'm having a ball.
You're having a ball?
Yeah.
Having a wonderful time.
Having a ball. Would that be in Spanish? Pasárselo bomba. Pasar bomba.
Yeah, but it will be ball in the meaning of a big event, big fancy dinner with music, not ball as in pelota.
Yeah.
It's not having a pelota, it's having a wonderful party. Another confusing thing for Spanish speakers, the difference between fun and funny. We said to have fun. And the main difference, if it makes you laugh, ha 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 ha, it's funny. So a funny joke, a funny TV program. But si te pasas bien, if you have a good time, you would say it's fun. I had a lot of fun at the party. Maybe you laughed, maybe you didn't, but you had fun. You had a good time.
If you say someone's funny, what would that be in Spanish? He's funny.
Es divertido.
Are you sure?
No.
I would say...
What would you say?
Gracioso.
Gracioso.
Okay. He's funny, he tells jokes, he makes me laugh. Okay. Es gracioso. But if I say to you, she's fun, es divertida.
Ah.
I have a good time with her.
What about a television program or a film?
Yeah, so a funny film is a comedy film. A fun film is good to watch, but maybe not funny. For example, some action films are fun. Bombs all over the place, people getting shot all over the place can be fun, but it's not funny.
So let me get this straight, because it's poco confused. So gracioso is funny?
Yes.
And divertido is fun?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. I learned something. Another expression is to have something in common with someone. If you have similar tastes, for example, then you have something in common. I like jazz music. Reza likes jazz music. We have jazz music in common. Do we have anything else in common?
House proud mothers.
House proud mothers. We like similar food.
Yeah.
We have a lot of food in common.
We do, yeah.
We have a language in common.
Yeah. We have a job in common.
We have a job in common. Yeah. So to have things in common, to have similar things. And finally, to have time to do things. You can have time or not have time. I know you're very busy, Reza. Is there anything you would like to have more time to do? Do you have much free time?
Not as much as I'd like. I'd like to have more time to surf the internet. I rarely get a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I use the internet, it's nearly always to do things I have to do for work.
Yeah.
Or that will help me with my job. But I don't get much time just to surf the internet.
Well, now that you have a new phone, or as British people would say, you've got a new phone, you'll have more time to surf the internet.
That's
because
true.
It's really useful when you have a phone that has internet connection 24/7 all the time, when you're waiting at the doctor's, when you're waiting for a bus, when you've got dead time.
Right.
You can use the phone to access the internet and listen to our podcast.
Exactly.
Reza, do you have a top tip for us this episode?
Yes, the tip for today is kind of related to last episode's tip about being indirect, being polite. This time I want to talk about using indirect forms. So instead of asking a stranger in the street, "Where is the bus station?" That sounds a bit abrupt. Where is the bus station?
Wait, where's the bus station?
Why the hell should I tell you? Why don't you say, "Could you tell me where the bus station is, please?"
Is that an indirect question?
That is an indirect question.
So, and where's the bus station is direct.
Direct.
So what's the difference between the two?
Well, if we think about the grammar, where is the bus station? First where, then is the bus station. But if I ask, "Can you tell me where the bus station is?" In that case, the subject, bus station, comes before the verb to be. In other words, when it's an indirect question, the order of the subject verb is like a positive sentence, not like a question.
So the verb to be goes at the end of...
After the subject.
After the subject.
What about auxiliaries? Well, exactly. No auxiliaries. If I say to you, "Do you like paella?"
That's direct.
With do you like? But I could say, "Can you tell me if you like paella?" There's
so,
no do.
So that you remove the verb to do.
Because it's not a direct question. It's an indirect question. So, "Can you tell me if you like paella?" You, subject, like.
And
no
do. And I also noticed you put the word "if" in there.
Yeah. I had to, because in an indirect question, if the answer is yes or no, you'll need to use the word "if." For example, I could say to you,
"Are you
married? Do you mind... Do you mind if I smoke? Do you mind if I smoke?"
Yes,
yes
I do, actually.
Or no. It's more polite than "Can I smoke?"
Okay.
"Do you mind if I smoke?"
Mm-hmm.
It's indirect, more polite. So we tend to add a little bit before the real question. So if my real question is, "Can I smoke?" I say, "Do you mind if I smoke?" Or if my real question is, "Where's the bus station?" I say, "Can you please tell me
where
the bus
station
is?" So you add a bit at the beginning.
Yeah.
Another one is, if you wanted to be very polite, would you mind telling me where the bus station is? Would you mind telling me?
I'd like to know.
I'd like to know. Or very polite and old-fashioned, but for fun you could say it, listeners, I wonder if you wouldn't mind telling me where the bus station is. Imagine that. I wonder.
But let's
if you wouldn't mind telling me. Me pregunto si no le molestaría usted decirme dónde está la estación.
But let's be face it, Reza. It's a long way to say, where's the bus station?
Yeah.
It's a long, many words to say, but it's more polite.
But maybe 50 years ago, people did really speak like that quite a lot.
And do you agree that you would probably use these indirect questions in English when you'd use usted in Spanish?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Usted, the polite form. If you feel the need in Spanish to use usted, the polite form, for a question, then in English you should probably be using an indirect question. Because that's our way of doing usted. Because we don't have a different word for to an usted in English. We tend to have indirect questions. So, Craig, do you think we might have done enough for today?
Would you mind telling
me... In other words,
me,
is that enough for today?
Would you mind telling me if you think we've done enough for today? Is this the end of the podcast?
That's what I'm asking. Do you think we've done enough? Craig, do you think we might have done enough for today?
I think we might have done enough.
Como usted diga.
Thank you for listening. Remember, if you like this podcast, please would you mind being kind enough to write a short review on iTunes so that more people can find us on the internet. So, until next episode, thank you for listening. Thank you to my co-host Reza, and we'll see you in the next episode.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later, licensed by Creative Commons under a BYNC license at ccmixter.org. Si quieres mandarnos un comentario sobre este podcast o una pregunta sobre la gramática, la pronunciación o el vocabulario de inglés, mándanos un email a mansionteachers@yahoo.es.
Gracias y que ustedes pasen un buen día.
Igualmente. I think we're getting rather good at this.
I really do.
Either that or we're just getting too big for our boots.
This is the evolution.
Craig, we passed number 7.